There are people who believe that their bloodline comes from Nephilim. There's this thought that the Rh negative bloodline is like a Nephilim bloodline. There's like 15% of the world is Rh negative. And of that 15%, 90% of those people tend to have paranormal encounters.
These supernatural things that we experience, you know, the people experience, you've got the Sasquatch behind you, the poster, you know, these things that you're looking at, they are supernatural things or spiritual things coming into a physical world. There's a bit of crossover, but there is also these Nephilim, which is kind of what Genesis chapter 6 talks about. And then you have the Nephilim tribes in the promised land that God told Joshua and Caleb to wipe out completely. So these things have been in our historical Bible. And so we're kind of seeing some of these things that might be Nephilim. We're kind of calling them that. What's your take on that? And if you're okay talking about some of those things as well.
Yeah. So I think that is definitely something to be thought on and considered with this stuff. And it's something that I started thinking about in, I'd say 2017, when I started the podcast. I remember I never was taught about Nephilim in church. And growing up, it was just something that never popped up. I went into Bible college and never heard about Nephilim. And it wasn't until I heard an interview with a guy named Gary Wayne, and he started talking about these Nephilim, and I'm just like, what is this? And I started looking at it, and it started like a light bulb went on in my head. And, you know, when you brought up Sasquatch, Bigfoot, people have these experiences, and what's weird about them is, one, we can't ever really get the evidence for this thing. Like, it's been around for, you know, at least the 50s, you know, in a pop culture sense. And thousands of people all over the country have said that, and in Canada, have seen this creature, but we can't ever get evidence of it. And, you know, there'll be evidence where it's like large footprints and you're following a trail of these tracks, and all of a sudden they're gone. They're just gone. Like, where did it go? And it starts making you think, like, is there a supernatural element to this topic of Bigfoot? And then when I heard about the Nephilim, and I started looking into it, and especially in Enoch, which, you know, even that alone, I was like, oh man, like, should I even be considering what's been written in Enoch as something to be considered? And it wasn't until I realized that there was parts of Enoch that are actually quoted in New Testament that I was like, okay, so the writers of the scripture did read Enoch, and they use it as a reference. But in there, it talks about how the Nephilim came into existence, but not only was it like humans, but the fallen, they did this with animals and plants. They wanted to defile all God's creation. And that's when I started thinking, like, is this some kind of remnant offspring of what happened a long time ago? And it just started like clicking in my head, you know, if these things are remnant of something that happened a long time ago, it might explain why some people's experiences with these creatures are more supernatural than others. And I try to understand it in the terms of like DNA. My brother and sister, I have a brother and sister who are twins, and you know, like, we're Puerto Rican, and my sister, she just looks like she's a white girl with blonde hair, and her twin brother is darker than me and looks like the Puerto Rican Mr. Bean. And I'm like, they're twins and they look so different. And it just started making me think, maybe I lack the proper scientific understanding and terminology with this, but could there be a situation where the remnant offspring of what happened, some of them have characteristics and traits of their supernatural fathers of long ago, and not others, explaining why some seem to be supernatural and some seem to be natural. People talk about these things speaking to them mentally, like there's like this telepathic communication. And, you know, I know it sounds kind of crazy at first, but I've heard not only the telepathic communication with with Sasquatch, but a lot of other things, including like demonic entities. So people having, you know, hauntings in their homes and experiences like that, they'll often, not often, but at times they'll reference the fact that it would communicate with them, but telepathically. In fact, just before I hopped on with you, I was talking to a woman who, when she was a kid in Southeast Ohio, very rural Appalachia community, she said the closest Walmart was an hour away. Weird things would happen there. And you have to, side note, you have to consider, are these territories of ancient entities as well? I don't think people tend to think about where we live today as what lived there before. And is there something that's trying to claim domain over a geographical area? But she said, and this is going to sound crazy, but it is what it is. She said that she saw as a child this like Black Panther in Southeast Ohio sitting on a tree stump. And this was in her backyard near a shed. And then instead of jumping off the tree stump, it stretched its leg out and stood up on two hind legs and walked. And that was the beginning of an experience where, as a child, she would see this thing, and it got to the point where there was a relationship evolved and it was communicating with her. She couldn't remember if it was telepathic or verbal, but she doesn't have a clear image as to how that, it was like fragmented memories. And on the surface, you're like, that's crazy. But she even said on the interview, she thinks that this might have been a demonic entity, and it's showing itself to her in certain ways. But she talked about how when it would move, it would have like a black mist. It would disappear into a black mist. So it's obvious that this is a supernatural being that she encountered as a kid. And I've heard other people talk about this very thing, and what, going back full circle to what I mentioned earlier about the different origins of different things. There was a guy that I had years ago on the show who talked about working at Area 2, which is near Area 51 at Nellis Air Force Base. And it wasn't his direct experience, but it was a story that was passed on to him from people who were there. Something escaped one of the buildings, and the rumor was that it was some kind of Catman creature that they were experimenting on in the base. And so you go to that, which sounds like it was some kind of experiment that escaped, to this panther Catman thing that this lady sees that as a kid disappears into a black mist. But then she said that it had like a chain that it was wearing, and it had a dog tag, and it told her that it's a warrior, a soldier. I'm going to go somewhere with this. So you have that piece, and this is like taking people's stories, and you start seeing the similarities. You have that story.
Two people that don't know each other.
They don't know each other.
They don't know each other. Yeah.
No. And I'm about to bring in a guy from Canada now. So
okay, good.
There's a guy in Canada who I talked to, and he said that he was having these lucid dreams, and it was repeating, and he was having this interaction with this, what we talked about earlier, the dog man type creature in like this lucid dream state. And it's something that I hear commonly talked about now, where people say, in this lucid dream state, it's like you're there and it's real. It's places you've seen, you've been there before, but there's little pieces that are off. It's like Stranger Things in the Upside Down. Mm-hmm. And he has this ongoing communication with this entity. And this entity, and I had him on for two recordings, and the second one I questioned him more on it, and I'm glad I did, because he would say things about this entity and how it was like, it was nice. It was good. Kind of like the girl and the Catman thing. And it was saying things to him, and he was believing it. And what it was saying wasn't necessarily false, but the way it was delivering the message was very one-sided. And at one point, this thing says that there was a great war and it was between entities like it and these cat-like entities. And there was this great cataclysmic event that happened, and the land parted and the war ended when the water rose. And if you just think about the geographical aspect of it, just like Bigfoot, here in the United States is where people are saying they're seeing this upright walking canine entity creature. You go across the Atlantic to the Middle East, and people often are saying that they see the djinn. And the djinn is a demonic entity that often shows itself as a black panther. And so this thing is talking about there was this war between two entities, and something cataclysmic happened. Water rose and separated the two. Could that be Noah's flood? And so on top of that, this guy talks about this old war that happened, but then it says there's a war coming, and the army that's coming is coming to rebuild the earth and fix it, and we're going to fight against it, but we know we're going to lose. And I'm like, hey man, sounds kind of like the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, man. And he's like, you know, that's a good point. I was like, how do you not see that? You know, like, and so he said things that made me feel like whatever he was communicating with, and it may not even be the true form. So like he's saying he's talking to something that is an upright walking canine creature, but it might be a depiction of something that it's projecting to him. And so it may not even be the true form of whatever he was talking to, but it became very clear to me that whatever he was communicating with was telling him truths, but a very one-sided view of it. And and so anyways, I just took you down this path. I don't even know how we got here, but Catman and stuff. So yeah.
Well, that's what I was hoping to get with our conversation, some great stories. And actually I have a story that from an episode that you did an interview with somebody that actually had a I think it was an ancient giant called into a radio station or something. I forget. It was in one of the islands, and you were like, let's go talk to him. Let's go figure this out.
Yeah.
What happened after that? I missed that next part, 'cause I think it was just a short snippet promoting the episode, and I missed what actually ended up happening after that.
Yeah. So that is, supposedly in the Catalina Islands, there were giants, and supposedly there still are giants. And there is one man or giant, Luddy McCode, I think is how you say it.
Yes.
And supposedly he's still alive to this day, and he exists on the islands. Like, I don't know the full story. My friend Joel is the one who did the research on it. And actually, I think, I think it was Joel. But he... basically, long story short, this giant went away, and when he came back, he restored order on the islands, and he's some kind of like king giant or something like that. But supposedly he's still around today. And I'm not really the one to tell the whole story, because I didn't research it. But when he said that he's still alive today, I was like, well, I guess I know where we're going, because I mean, an interview with a giant, you know, like, why not? But there's also like, there are people who believe that their bloodline comes from Nephilim. And there's this thought that the Rh negative bloodline is like a Nephilim bloodline. And that I forget how the percentages break down, but there's like 15% of the world is Rh negative. Don't quote me on the exact numbers, but I'm just generally. And of that 15%, 90% of those people tend to have paranormal encounters and experiences, supernatural experiences. So there's definitely something that's kind of weird with that, and up with that. But there's a guy in Virginia who he's an older man, and he said he'll come down to the studio to talk to me. Our Common Connection is another podcast, but it seems like he might be one of these people, and to the point where him and his siblings all had to have a second row of teeth removed in their childhood. I think he's close to 70 years old now. And, wow. And I have never talked to the man. I've never even seen pictures of him, but from what I understand, one of his fingers on each hand looks like it's doubled. Like they sewed his fingers together as a child or something. And like, it's like a extra thick fingers on one on each hand. And he has six toes, and that's a common thing with Nephilim giants and stuff. And so I think that there's probably still a remnant of some kind of Nephilim origin today. And people will say, well, how does that work? How is that possible with the whole flood thing? And my answer is, I don't know. All I know is Numbers 13:33 says there clearly were giants in the land, and that was post flood. Yep. And is it something as simple as God cleansed the earth and the rebellion continues to this day? So could they have just done it again? Could there have been a remnant that survived in a supernatural way? There's people who's ventured into saying that these are supernatural beings, so they were able to go into other realms during the flood or go off Earth. There's a lot of, I know it sounds wackadoo ways to look at it, but reality is when you look at the scripture, they survived the flood. Somehow they were post-flood. So whether they survived it or they came back, it's clear that they are there. And so I don't know.